This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham.
How should public radio station WMRA be run? Got thoughts, opinions, suggestions, questions about that? You can get them addressed this hour by WMRA's new leader, Al Bartholet. Now, a personal note, if I may. What if you had to moderate a discussion with your boss in front of several thousand people? You'd be hoping at least some of those in the audience would be kind enough to ask a question or make a comment, wouldn't you? Because if you had to do all the asking yourself, who knows what kind of trouble you could get yourself into. So, if you're listening to this broadcast live on Thursday, August 29th, how about being a friend and marking down this phone number, 888-967-2825. Easy to remember is 888-WMRA-TALK. You can think of something you want to talk about with my boss. Okay, my boss's boss, can't you? We'll find out right after the news. Great to be with you. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Our call-in lines are now open at 888-WMRA-TALK. So, be honest with me. What do you think of WMRA? How well is it serving you? What would you like to see done differently? What, if anything, about the station really bugs you? This would be the perfect time to share those thoughts since the station's new guy in charge is this hour's guest. You can call right now, 888-967-2825. Or if you're on Facebook, we are listed there as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Now, you may have already heard this story, but just in case, I do want to note that it was a bit more than 40 years ago when today's guest first stepped in front of a public microphone. At that time, seeking to entertain his fellow high school students with a bit of disc jockey finesse. Skip forward a few decades, and after many years heading up an NPR station, WKSU, in Kent, Ohio, he arrived in Virginia a few weeks ago to take over as executive director of WMRA Public Radio. Al Bartholet, welcome to the Insight Studios.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So can you finish, can you finish out that story of first experience in almost radio for us? Where were you and just what happened?
Well, it was a high school experience, and the idea, the notion of being in radio sort of germinated in the seventh grade. And so that stuck. And I knew at the time that I had to go to that particular high school in order to accomplish my goal, which was to be in radio in some capacity.
And this was in Akron, Ohio.
It was in Akron. And in being called into the principal's office for various things over the years, I noticed they had a PA system in there that was used for announcements, and ironically, not only did it have a microphone and a bit of a console, but it also had a turntable, and that just really kind of sparked my imagination, and I thought, you know, you could kind of do a little radio thing here, but the problem was you only had one turntable, so you had to have, it was a two-person operation. You had to have somebody there to take the record off and flip it and to put the needle on at the right space so that you could continue with the music. And so we did that, and we had a great time, but we didn't know if anybody was listening to us at the time. And so we did a little sound check, kind of like we're doing today, in a way. This hopefully is a much larger scale. Went downstairs to the cafeteria. There's about 400 kids down there, and we were playing Rolling Stones' Sympathy to the Devil, if you're familiar with that. And there's a certain part of that song that you may recall where you kind of sing along to it, to the ooh-ooh. And the whole cafeteria was doing that. And that was just a sort of you get goosebumps because you said, they're actually listening. They're having fun doing it. And we were having fun putting it together. So that was the beginning of that excitement about radio and people responding to what we were doing. So that was great fun.
But even before that, seventh grade, Mrs. Right. Jesse's class.
You've heard about this.
She asked you what you wanted to be when you grew up, and you knew right away.
I did.
How come? Why radio?
Well, that's kind of funny you asked that question today because I was just with her daughter at her sort of a grade school reunion over the weekend. So we talked a little bit about that. But it was just what was going on in the time. If you remember the 60s, I believe the 50s and the 60s were driven by radio. Top 40 radio really kind of germinated during that period of time. And the people who were on the air who were driving the music, they were driving the British invasion, they were driving all kinds of new music that seemed so wonderful to a teenager's ears. And it seemed like just a wonderful place to be, an influential place to be. And being a lover of music, I just, you know, I fell in love with that. And the surroundings were great, too. I had the opportunity to go into something, a store that was called Forest City, I remember now. And they had a studio in there. It was very much like this studio here in so many ways. But it was
This was in your hometown?
In our hometown. It was near Chapel Hill, a retail outlet. And it had all kinds of radios and turntables and this, that, and the other. And I felt like, boy, this is what it must feel like to be in a radio station. And in many ways it did. And that was exciting because I grew up as son of a blue-collar worker, worked in a factory, and every once in a while my dad would take me there to his tool and die shop. And it was noisy. It was dark. It was all kinds of things that just at the time made me think, this is not where I want to end up. And I'm glad that my dad is making a living and he's feeding us all, and thank goodness for that. But it's not where I wanted to be. So.
And radio seemed better.
Radio seemed like the best place to be.
And you would eventually spend some time as a commercial radio disc jockey, and we may be able to talk about that later. But most of your career ended up being in management at one particular NPR-affiliated station in Ohio. And the main reason that we have Al Barthollet, the new executive director for WMRA, with us today is a sort of town hall meeting for you there on the other side of your radio to get a chance to talk with him, to share your ideas about public radio in general and this station in particular. And the phone number to do that is 888-967-2825. First call coming in from Harrisonburg, and I think this is Eliza. Eliza, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
That's correct, yes.
Thanks for calling in. Your question or comment, please.
Well, I just adore WMRA. I don't know how to set my radio anywhere else, but my question is, if there is a way you can solicit more input on the air for the changes that you're making. I come down on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, Bob Edwards isn't there. Have you notified me? Maybe, but I sure didn't hear it. So I'm just wondering, as you make changes and bounce programs around and replace programs, if you could ask us how we feel about that, or at least tell us.
Well, we certainly make every attempt to do that. I know before I arrived at WMRA, our program director, Matt Bengay, was putting things on the web about changes that were coming on. Now, in all fairness, a lot of changes that have occurred at WMRA this summer, many of them were a result of people retiring and people leaving their programs and retiring and doing other things that they've
Tom
been
Duvall,
wanting to.
Whose job?
Tom Duvall, the former general manager, retired. Martha
Woodruff.
Woodruff. She also retired, although she's still doing a segment of the Spark part-time. And Neil Conan of Talk of the Nation retired as well. So I think our program director in the station here before I arrived did everything they have within the resources, and I must say, very limited resources. It would be great when we have program changes to put a full-page ad out in newspapers in Charlottesville and Harrisonburg and everywhere. We don't have the resources to do that. We try to let you know by making announcements on the air that things are changing, and as of today, we are seeking input. We will continue to do that, as I will travel around our community and listen to what people have to say about what's going on at WMRA. But thank you for the call.
Eliza, is there something in particular that you'd like to see in terms of notification about changes or input into whether you want changes made?
I don't go to the website. I don't spend any more time than I have to on the computer. But, you know, if you're going to change the time on Bob Edwards, I'd just love it if during that period of his program that you would say, this isn't going to be here next time at this time.
I'm just curious, did you know that Martha Woodruff was retiring?
No,
Okay. And the reason I ask is in all the work I've done in television and radio all over the country, what you are saying is one of the most frequent comments that broadcasters hear. And we hear it even after lots and lots of announcements have been made about somebody leaving a station or a program no longer being available. And there certainly was, before Martha's retirement, a fair amount of talk on the air here about the fact that she had decided to retire and would go to working occasionally here part-time. But despite all of those announcements, you and probably many others still didn't hear it.
Yeah, because none of us keep our radios on all the time, so...
That's too bad. Huh? It's too bad we can't get you to listen in your sleep. Thanks so much for calling and sharing your perspective. Our guest on this edition of Virginia Insight, WMRA's new executive director, Al Barthollet. If you want to talk to him, our phone number is easy to remember as 888-WMRA-TALK. In all numbers, that's 888-967-2825. Another call coming in from Harrisonburg. This is Jay. Jay, you're on the air.
Hey, I want to say that I worked at WMRA in the mid-70s as a student at JMU. And back then it was Madison. And I came back to the area 2 years ago, and I love WMRA. As a matter of fact, when I was a much younger man, I used to think that Prairie Home Companion was for old folks. I guess those folks now. I love the show. But my one little complaint about WMRA, when you guys do promotions, do promos from listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost all from Charlottesville. Some of us do not live in Charlottesville. God bless the listeners in Charlottesville. But you do have listeners and fans and supporters of WMRA actually in Harrisonburg,
mm-hmm.
not just in Charlottesville. Just wanted to say that.
I just had lunch with a couple from Harrisonburg who are great supporters of WMRA. And it was, I'm not going to mention any names here, but it was a total delight to meet with them. And I have to say that for me personally, that's what I get my charge, my spark. And that's out of listening to what our listeners have to say, what our donors have to say. And yes, there are people who live in Harrisonburg who listen to WMRA. And I think that Bob Levicky, who produces those spots, those My Source spots, has done a tremendous job of recording individuals, and I've encouraged him to do much more of that, which he will continue to do so. We did that at my previous station at WKSU. In fact, we had a time slot every week that people would come in from the community and record testimonials about what they thought of the station, and Bob is going to be doing that now here at WMRA. So I don't know what time that has been slated for, but we will be inviting people to come in during that time so that he has a regular schedule of a time that people can come in and do that and have those testimonials. I think that's wonderful. I love to hear other individuals who listen to this station telling our listeners about how they feel about us rather than us doing it.
Jay, I'm fascinated to hear your perception because I hear a lot of those announcements, many of which were previous Insight guests who, after being on the air here, would stay and chat a little bit about their perceptions of the station. And then Bob Levicky would edit them into the announcements that you hear. And most often, I'm hearing people from Lexington. So it's interesting that your perception is most often you're hearing people from Charlottesville. I know that there are lots of people included in those from different places in the Valley. But I guess all of our perceptions are different.
I have a parting comment, and I am a friend, and I love Acoustic Cafe with Tina Owens, and I know you guys move programs around. Even if you're only going to give her 15 minutes, keep her on. She is really serious about what she does, and it's a good show. So even if you have to cut her down to 15 minutes, I will still listen.
Good to hear.
Thanks for your call, Jay. You can tell by the music. You're an old radio.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Okay. A break is imminent, isn't it?
Okay, so somebody during the break is going to tell people listening, if in fact you are listening live on Thursday, the 29th of August of 2013, and not at a future date when this show is being repeated in recorded fashion, then somebody during the break will be giving out the phone number. But let me mention right here that it's 888-967-2825. Our guest, the new leader of WMRA Public Radio, and we'll be back in about a minute. He spent some 30 years in various management positions at the public radio station owned by Kent State University, the last 12 of those years as that station's leader and general manager. Then, as of July of this year, after previous WMRA chief Tom Duvall retired, our guest has taken over leadership of WMRA Public Radio as this station's new executive director. Al Barthollet is with us. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. And if you want to talk with Al, we've got a phone line open for you at 888-WMRA-TALK. You can also reach us on Facebook, where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. And Al, this came in a little while ago on the Virginia Insight Facebook page. And I believe this person's name is pronounced Ajhoon, but if I am mispronouncing it, I apologize. Hmm. The question, what will be your internet media strategy for the coming years? Isn't a brick-and-mortar radio station an obsolete waste of money with all the public radio available on the internet?
It's not a bad question, and in fact, the internet strategy moving forward is moving forward as we speak. One of the things that we want to do here at WMRA is to have an app, which is a vehicle by which one can listen to content produced by radio stations like WMRA via the internet, via your cell phone, a mobile device. And as you probably know, that's becoming more and more common these days. I mean, if you look at the numbers, the percentages of people who are accessing media, more and more of it's coming through your mobile device. And that's where the future of probably radio will be in the future. It's no different than our transistor radios in many respects, except we can get everything. Just for the fun of it, I listened to a station in Tanzania on my mobile phone just to say that I did it. But you can, and you can listen to anything. The other part of the question, the bricks and mortar, you know, you do have to have a location, I believe, still today. We started an internet radio station almost 10 years ago, Folk Alley at WKSU, and we had people contributing from all over
Kent, Ohio.
In Kent, Ohio, from all over the country, from different, well, they weren't all bricks and mortars, although they did live somewhere. One person did it, I believe, under a blanket under their bed to get a better sound reinforcement there. But no, I think the internet strategy, everything is changing in radio. And will radio be obsolete? Absolutely not. My former program director, now the vice president for programming for NPR, made the statement not too long ago, who said that radio is not going away. It's going everywhere. And that's where it's going. It's going everywhere. And it's going to be on your phone. It's on your iPad. It's on so many other devices that you can bring content into wherever you're at. And so it's an exciting period of time for those of us who produce content.
So Al Barthollet, in terms of Ajhoon's specific first question, what will be your internet media strategy for the coming years? It sounds like I'm hearing it's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress. One of the, as you know, Tom, one of the obstacles that we have here is a geographical obstacle, which are mountains. And it makes it difficult for us to get to every area. I live currently in Massanutten, which I can't hear the radio station from there. I should have checked that out before I rented the house. But I use my iPhone every morning to tune into Morning Edition. Internet strategy going forward is to get those apps out there to allow people throughout the world to be able to hear WMRA. And then going forward is to improve the offerings we have on the internet. Our Facebook page needs some work. We all know that. Our web page needs some work. But it is a work in progress.
This came in from Bob in Buffalo Gap, and some of what he has to say in a fairly long message is similar to what Eliza was saying, but let me read at least part of this. Bob says, especially in combination with WEMC, WMRA is one of the very good things about living in the Valley. But we hardcore listeners / members have taken several hits this month. The termination of Talk of the Nation, the elimination of the BBC at 9 a.m., and most sadly, the apparent disappearance of two excellent local programs, The Spark and Airplay. In addition, the excellent Virginia-focused With Good Reason has moved to a downright insulting 6 a.m. Sunday slot. I'm all for national public radio, but I want just as much to learn about and enjoy the treasures of talent and brain power in our own state and region. The Spark was doing this. Airplay was celebrating our wealth of musical talent. I'm glad that Virginia Insight has left, but I very much hope that the new executive director will reserve a certain portion of programming to local, regional, and Virginia concerns.
Well, as you know, Airplay is not gone. Tom Duvall is actually producing that program. We talked a little earlier about Martha and the Spark sort of downsizing, if you will, through her retirement. But I agree with the questions in terms of where this station is going. Virginia Insight is a very important program to me personally, and I think important to this station. We have to reach out to the community with our local, with local content. We have to make WMRA relevant to our listeners in Lexington, to our listeners in Charlottesville, to our listeners in Harrisonburg, and throughout our area. And we have to do that with local content. That's part of, you know, sort of, if I have a philosophy of radio, that is part of it, is the, what I call the four C's: the community, the clients, which are our clients, our members, our underwriters, JMU, which is clearly a client of our own, our colleagues here in the studio who work, we work with every day, and collaborative efforts, which I intend to embark on, collaborations with other organizations that can help us improve our local identity to this community. So I hope that answers that question in part. Some programs, as we said earlier, we have no control over. People retire. And I think we're going to see that, Tom, over in public radio. Those of us who have been in public radio for a long time, take Garrison Keillor, for example. The Car Talk guys just retired not too long ago. A lot of program hosts are of that age where we're going to see some changes in the years to come.
But to Bob's point about wanting more local programming, it sounds like what you're saying is that's what you want too.
I do. I absolutely do. I wish Virginia Insight were on 5 days a week. And I think it's critical that we have programs like this on every day. We have to have this forum with our listeners where they can ask questions, not only about the radio station, clearly, but what's going on in our community, so we can learn from each other.
How much do you think people listening understand that it's not done because of money? That a program like Virginia Insight or any other locally produced program, including news program especially, mm-hmm. takes lots of research and lots of person hours and lots of staff, that if you don't have the money, you can't do it.
I don't think they do. I think, and I'm not putting blame on anyone for feeling that way. I understand it. If people feel you just turn the microphone on and do a talk program, right? And that's not the case. If we were to expand this program by several days a week to make it a five-day-a-week program, it would cost this station several hundred thousand dollars. No question about it. And if there's anyone out there who wants to contribute to that effort, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. But it's something I think is absolutely critical to building an identity here. We learn about our community because we listen to other people talk about what's going on. We don't fire bullets away. Words are very powerful. Listening is very powerful. We learn more about what's going on in our own community by hearing and understanding what other people have to say about it. And I think that's the basis of understanding where you live in the community that you want to be a part of.
So one of your big challenges is coming up with more money so you can put more local programming on the air.
Well, I think that's a big challenge. I mean, I think this program alone, you know, is a challenge. As I said, I would love to be able to do something like that, but it's going to take several hundred thousand dollars more a year
to hire several full-time producers
to do that.
So to you who are listening, if you were tapped to run a public radio station, what would your priorities be? Got any questions about or reactions to how this public station is currently being run? Our phone number here on Virginia Insight, 888-WMRA-TALK, in all numbers, translates to 888-967-2825. Our guest, the new executive director, guy in charge of WMRA, Al Barthollet. Another call coming in from Harrisonburg. This is Tim. Tim, thank you for joining us. Your question or comment for Al, please.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on WMRA's sister station in Harrisonburg, WEMC, the oldest public radio station in Virginia, and just say that when WMRA took over WEMC a few years ago, a number of us who were fans of WEMC had some concerns about how that was all going to work out. And I think WMRA has been a very good steward of WEMC, has been sensitive to its listening community, and has given Harrisonburg residents an alternative that unfortunately isn't available everywhere in your listening area. But I just wanted to commend you on that and say that I hope that you keep it up, and I'll hang up now and listen to your comments on that. Thank you.
Well, I have heard that exact comment from many of the volunteer hosts on WEMC, that it worked out just great, that there was some apprehension at first about WMRA sort of taking over through an LMA agreement WEMC, but I have yet
and
to...
And one of the reasons for that, I realize that
sure,
you may not know the history, is that WEMC, which were for many, many years, as Tim was indicating, was owned and operated by its originating force, Eastern Mennonite University, or even before that, Eastern Mennonite
mm-hmm.
College.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally decided that they no longer had the finances to keep doing that.
That's correct.
And that's when WMRA offered to help.
Mm-hmm. And as I've said earlier, I've gotten good response from everyone, particularly the folks on, you know, you can see the people from WEMC working on the other side of the studio sometimes. And they're all very happy about the relationship that we have. And the listeners, I believe, feel the same way.
Tim, thank you so much for your call and your kind words. So anybody else listening, whether you've got kind words or you've got criticism, we'd love to hear from you. We got kind of a town hall meeting going with our new executive director, Al Barthelet. And we still have a couple of phone lines open at 888-WMRA-TALK. I believe our next caller is Josh. Josh, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment, please.
Yes. I have noticed the little changes this month with Martha retiring. I was aware of that. You know, the BBC disappearing at 9 and being replaced with Here and Now has been interesting to me, but I've enjoyed the changes, and I'm willing to continue my listening and have really enjoyed Virginia Insight. And think that it's a wonderful program. I wish that it could be on 5 days a week.
Well, I'm liking everything you're saying so far, Josh. I have a suspicion there's a but in here someplace.
There's a question, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Well, it's just my location, most likely.
Well, I had a hint from one of our producers when they put your name up on the board here in front of me, that there was a classical program on WMRA that you especially loved.
I do really like Bob's Record Show.
There you go. And it's great to have Bob here and a volunteer who can come in. And can. I think he drives down from Winchester, does he not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he drives, 70 miles?
Talk about dedication.
140 miles round trip or so to do that show every week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do this all the time. I'm confusing Dick Jameson, who comes from Winchester, and Bob, who lives in Harrisonburg.
Well, so am I.
So, but both of them are very dedicated, and they're both wonderful programs. So, this is where I keep interrupting the boss, and I'm going to try and shut up now.
I would echo what you have to say. I think the volunteer programmers that we have are clearly very dedicated, and I've talked to everyone. That was one of the first things that I did upon arriving here at the station, is I interviewed everyone who both volunteers here in some capacity and works here, either part-time or full-time, to get their opinion about what they do and the work they do and how they enjoy it and what they want to do in the future. And it was very great to hear from everyone and to understand the dedication and the love that they have for what they do. And so I find it very gratifying.
Josh, thank you so very much for your call. I think we've got a call coming in from Tom's Brook. We haven't heard from that community in a while. Is this Diane?
Yes.
Diane,
hello.
Thanks for calling in. Your question, your comment for WMRA's Executive Director, Al Barthelet, please.
I wanted to say congratulations on your new position, and I hope you love it and stick around. And we love the radio station and all the news and the wonderful music, especially all the variety.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing but good things to say, and welcome aboard.
Well, thank you so much for that welcome. I have to say that with each day that I have been here, I have enjoyed it more. You know, days like today when you have the opportunity to hear from and to meet and to share bread, if you will, with individuals who support the station, who love the station, I find it very inspiring and very gratifying. I had the opportunity early on to go down to a community called Middlebrook, and I met a lot of listeners in Middlebrook who love the station, and that was great to hear from them. So it's been very, very enjoyable to hear from our listeners who thoroughly love WMRA and WEMC and who are willing to listen and to support the effort that we do here every day.
Well, this program to introduce you personally, I think, is wonderful.
Well, I would agree. I've given Tom a lot of compliments since I've been here. I think he should be doing network programming, but I want to keep him here at the same time.
Oh, Diane, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
In fact, somebody today, Tom, said that to me, that you know, this program and Tom Graham, he should be doing national stuff, that he should be hosting some national program, and it's up to me to find a way to make that happen.
Okay. So
can I syndicate this program nationally?
Yeah, we'll change the show's name back to its original name of Insight.
Is that
and then you
was?
Find a way to syndicate it nationally
that was
and get
challenge.
Other stations to pay for it and bring in money so that you can do more local programming. See, all solutions there. Hey, you there listening in. Is there something you especially like about WMRA? Willing to tell us what that is? Is there something about this radio station that you really, really wish would change? You're invited to tell us about that, too. By phone, you can reach us at 888-WMRA-TALK. Or if you prefer to type instead of talk, you can post to us on the Virginia Insight Facebook page. We're going next to Charlottesville. Peter, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for WMRA's new leader, Al Barthollet, please.
Well, hello, Al. And
hello.
Welcome. WMRA is certainly my favorite NPR station.
Well, thank you.
So I really can't think of any way to improve the programming. It's always fascinating. It's varied. It's tremendous. My beef is with the fundraising.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to consider a fact of life that you are probably very aware of, that there are, in the Charlottesville area, there are easily two NPR stations available. And very often, the fundraising goes on at different times. Now, I make a monthly pledge, so you don't ever lose my support. But I admit that I will tune in the other NPR station during your fundraising drive. And I'm guessing that a whole lot of other people do the same thing. So you're beating the bushes, trying to get people to give, and you're talking to dead air.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is happening.
You're correct.
So here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Think of a dozen ways that your listeners can help you besides sending you money. Now, let me give you an idea. Let's say that during your number one, during that fundraising drive, you've got countless airtime that you could be doing advertising with. Now, you can't actually use that for advertising, but you can mention people that were willing to give a prize or a benefit for someone who's contributing. And in so doing, maybe mention, say, 100 different local businesses. Now, how do you find those 100? Ask your listeners to find them and bring them to your attention and then talk with them about doing that.
Peter, we're just about to hit the break. I'm going to ask Al to respond to your suggestions when we get back. Thanks so much for your call. So as the story goes, back in seventh grade, his teacher, Mrs. Jesse, asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. His answer, without a second's hesitation, "I want to be in radio." Shortly after starting college, he got his first job in professional radio, running a bluegrass music show. After college, he spent a few years as a commercial radio station disc jockey in Georgia and Ohio, then working some three decades in management positions at NPR affiliate WKSU in Kent, Ohio. Last month, he took over running WMRA as this station's new executive director, and Al Barthollet is here in the Insight studio to give you a chance to start a conversation with him. 888-967-2825 is how to reach us by phone.
Was it Bob who asked the question?
It was Peter.
Peter, I'm sorry, Peter. I don't have a real good answer for your question other than to say this, that as we approach our spring fund drive, I would agree with you that people turn us off.
Or maybe fall.
I'm sorry, fall. Thank you for correcting me. In fact, I've
How often do you get to do that to the boss?
Only you can answer that. But in any event, I've seen statistics that suggest that 80% or more of the audience goes away. And I wish there was a way that we could cooperate with other stations so that we all did it at the same time. I think that might relieve listeners of some of the tedious listening of fund drives, one after the other, after the other, after the other. As far as coming up with your strategy in terms of how to raise money, other than our old-fashioned way of simply asking for it, we are going to look at some different ways to do some things in the fall that do include including businesses as partners in what we're doing. I don't know if that's going to change the overall tonality of it. I have to say that ever since I've been in this business and in the development side of it, there have been people who have been giving me suggestions on how to do it other than by fundraising. And I would love to do a lot of different approaches, and we've tried a lot of different things. Some have worked okay, some not so good. But I'm always open to ideas. So
Peter's suggestion about listeners contributing ideas for businesses to give prizes.
And there will be some prizes that will be given during this next fund drive.
And if listeners have ideas,
please call me and let me know, or email me.
540-568-6221.
That'll work.
Al Barthelet, new executive director of WMRA Public Radio. Actually, WMRA and WEMC Public Radio is our guest. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about the fact that no matter how many times you make an announcement,
mm-hmm.
there are people who will miss it and feel like, why did you make the change without announcing it?
Correct.
Susan in Charlottesville may be about to prove that point. Susan, thanks so much for calling us. And I understand you have a question about the Spark?
Yes. What happened to it? Where did it go?
Well, it shrunk a little bit, I believe. Martha, Martha is writing a book and got a pretty good book deal, is my understanding. And she retired from WMRA full time and is working part time. So we've included a little bit of the Spark as a part of our regular weekly offering. But I have to say,
and it's on Thursdays
at 3. Does that sound right? Are we getting nods from our program director? 3:15 or something like that, he tells me.
2:50 p.m. every Thursday.
Okay.
She has one segment on what is otherwise known as the national program Here and Now.
Right, right. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I have to say, in the short time that I have been here, I have not gone anywhere. I have not gone anywhere where someone hasn't made a comment about Martha and about how much they love the Spark and how much they love Martha and they know Martha. And I don't think Martha's ever met a stranger.
How dare she retire?
I know. I know. And writing a book to boot, not a bad gig if you can get it. But so you ask about the Spark, and that's what's happening with the Spark. And again, the Spark is a great example. You know, that I think the impetus behind that program is to talk to people who are doing creative things and to explore that idea of a spark. What gets them going? And I love that concept, and I would love for us to be able to do something like that on a fairly regular basis. So I was very remiss myself when I heard about Martha's retirement.
Yeah, because it's a great show, and it's wonderful to hear all the interesting and creative people that are in this area. And it's one of, like you said, one of the few programs you can find that showcases that. So I really miss it. So I will try to catch her one segment now that I know when it is.
And you can still find that segment posted online after it airs on Thursday afternoons, in case that's helpful,
yes,
at WMRA.org. Susan,
right.
Thank you so very much. We're going next to somebody who's been driving along the roadway someplace but is pulled off safely.
Uh-oh.
Patty, thank you for calling in your question or comment for WMRA's new executive director, Al Barthelet, please.
Hello.
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 Good afternoon, and welcome, Al.
Well, thank you, Patty.
We're glad to have you. I love WMRA. It is the only button I ever push on my radio in my car. The CD player thinks it's broken because I don't use it anymore. Martha, I miss Martha. Tom, I love Virginia Insight. I wish it was on every day too. Hint, hint. But my favorite show is Valley Blues every Saturday evening. Oh man, that is like the best.
The professor. The professor is hard not to love.
I have learned so much from listening to that show. It has given me inspiration to listen to things I would never have heard of, and now are just, you know, a huge part of my musical, you know, life. It's amazing. It's just totally amazing. He's so smart and so knowledgeable, and the music is so good, and you could throw a party every Saturday night and just turn that music on and be good to go.
Well, speaking of throwing a party, let me say this.
I'll be there.
I hope you're there, and I'm having dinner. My wife and I are having dinner with the professor this Friday, tomorrow evening, and I can't wait. I love the professor, and I love the show, and I love the blues myself personally, which is what I play when I'm at home practicing guitar. We're talking about having can you believe that show is turning 30?
And yes, I do.
We're talking about having a big party.
Oh, that would be so
for
fun.
That. And the professor and I have agreed, anyway, in principle, of the group that we would like to bring in from Nashville, who will be happy to come. We just have to find enough interested people to put the money together to make it happen. But we're excited about it, and I'm excited about celebrating the professor's 30th anniversary of doing the Blues Valley, because it's a wonderful show, and he
it's
adds
fabulous.
Such local color and flavor to it.
It's
what makes public radio worth listening to.
It makes Saturday evenings worth having a Saturday evening.
It certainly does.
Patty, thank you very much for your call.
You're most welcome. Thank you all, and you have a good day.
Thank you.
So the number for you to call if you want to join our discussion here on Virginia Insight, 888-967-2825. That's 888-WMRA-TALK. The topic today, leading WMRA, but mostly it's an opportunity to meet the new guy in charge here at this public radio station. And if you've got questions for him, suggestions to offer, you are invited, however you want to pronounce it. You're welcome to join in. 888-WMRA-TALK by phone. On Facebook, we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. We got a call coming in from Waynesboro, and I think this is Warner. Warner, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Welcome, Al.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I had a couple of comments. First of all, the solution, I think, to ensuring the future for WMRA has been staring you all at the face for this entire hour, which is the personal investment that people feel in the station, your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So do this once a month and continue to cultivate that, because when people come at you with passion, you can say, and do you have your wallet with you? I'm just saying. the real reason that I called, I worked at WMRA from 1999 to 2004 and got my start because I had been volunteering for the Valley Voice, the radio reading service that you all sponsor. And I have just been concerned about its future as well, and was hoping that you could tell us a little bit about that. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. Here's one thing I do want to say about Valley Voice. Since my arrival, I have a tendency oftentimes to come in pretty early in the morning. And I see this community of volunteers who come in here early, and they start working on Valley Voice. And they're all community volunteers. They're all doing this because they feel that they're providing a service that's worthwhile, and it's inspiring. It is very inspiring to see them come in every day at 7 o'clock in the morning sometimes. And they're getting the papers out, they're reading, and they're rehearsing, and they're putting it all together. And Terry Ward kind of coordinates that, and he's done some great work with that group. And it's inspiring, and I certainly hope it continues.
Well, that's a relief, because it certainly was a great opportunity for me to then segue into working for the best radio station by far in this area, public radio. I think it's all about personal investment. You just have to figure out a way to make people identify with you in particular. NPR is fine, and Click and Clack are fine, and Peter Sagal, Carl Castle, but a personal investment with you guys. And then, and I know, Al, you have a reputation, I understand, having not be shy about asking folks to pony up and just do it. Just pony up.
Well, that's how we're going to be a part of the community. And that's how, if programs like Virginia Insight are going to be on 5 days a week, which we've heard that a couple times now, it's going to take that personal investment from the community. It's going to take someone listening right now who would say, you know, I think that's a good idea, and I'm going to make an investment right now, and I'm going to try to make something like that happen. And that may sound very odd to you, that won't happen. That'll never happen, but it does happen, and it can happen, and I've seen it work that way because people do feel personally invested, not only in the radio station, but in the community. And if this station is doing its job in serving the community like this program is, that can happen. And it's a beautiful thing to see. I've seen it happen before, and I certainly hope it happens today.
Warner, thank you so much for sharing some time with us here on Virginia Insight. Hey, Al Barthollet, my new boss's boss, new executive director of WMRA. How good a job is NPR doing?
Let me tell you, I think it's. I think it's doing a great job. You know, if you just take a moment and listen to the stories that we heard this morning on Morning Edition, and those stories were critically important. There are stories about people who are bakers in Seattle, people who are auto workers in Michigan. These are real stories about real people, and what we do at NPR is we tell stories. And I'll tell you a quick story, is that Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, kept a little piece of paper in his wallet. And in the wallet it said, if you listen to someone else's story, you can't not help but love them. And what we do is we are storytellers, and we listen to other people's stories. We don't talk about what I heard on commercial radio this morning, which was, give me the top 10 states of people who view pornography. I mean, what's that have to do with democracy? What's that have to do with insight in the community? It was kind of disappointing to hear that. There's a huge contrast between what NPR does and what other stations do to gain audience. And we tell stories. And we tell stories about American people, about the changing demography of this country, and we do it in such a way that nobody else does, and I'm very proud of what we do.
What is news?
That's a hard question to answer.
I can't ask you just easy ones.
No, it can be so many things at so many different times. It can be very timely. It can be something that's going to affect your life right now, or it can be something that will have long-term effects that you need to start thinking about and formulating your own strategy as to how you're going to approach it. And I think we do both. We don't do a lot of things that other news organizations do, like chase things down and find out there's nothing there. There's a lot of thought given into what we try to do and what we try to discover before we give the information, and we vet it. Part of the problem is there's a lot of information out there these days, a lot of it on the internet, but it's not vetted through journalism. And I think that's what we do best at NPR and through PRI and through our networks and here locally. We vet information. We make sure that it's accurate before it goes out as a Twitter or something on Facebook, that we know that it's accurate and it's true. And that concerns me. And I think that's something that we do very well in public radio. I think public radio does a great job of that, more so than CNN and more so than other networks.
Al Barthollet, we're just out of time, so I got to throw you a curve before we finish, because earlier in the hour you talked a little bit about what you feel your and the WMRA staff's responsibility is to our audience and the general public. What kind of responsibility, if any, do WMRA listeners have, in your view?
Let me say this. It's your station. It is your station.
And it's up to you to make sure the station thrives, survives, and grows. And it's your responsibility to make sure it happens. How do you do that? Well, you do that by supporting the station. And if you travel around the country, you'll hear great public radio stations, and you'll hear stations that are not so great. You know what the difference is? The ones that are not so great are the ones that are not supported. And if you support your public radio station, it will allow that station to be a better station for you. So
you're talking about money.
I am talking about money. And I'm talking about time and sweat equity as well. I'm talking about all the things that people do for their public radio station. And they can do a lot. And I hope to hear from those individuals very soon.
Our guest has been Al Barthollet. As of July of this year, the guy in charge here at WMRA, his official title, Executive Director for WMRA and WEMC Public Radio. Al, thanks so very much for making time for us.
Hey, you're quite welcome.
You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org, then clicking on Programs, and then clicking on Virginia Insight. And when you go to that page, you will find links to more information about Mr. Barthollet, as well as contact information for him. Virginia Insight's executive producer, Matt Bingay. Our associate producers, Terry Ward and Bob Levicky. Some of our break music supplied by Robert Jospe and Inner Rhythm. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more Insight.